Donaldson with Ian Whishart.
Time to talk tough about the issues of the day. It's time to talk to Ian Whishart, in for Mark Bennett on Radio Pacific.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Ian Whishart. This is Radio Pacific. If you've seen the new look, One News, what do you make of it? How is Judy Bailey handling it on her own? And is the way that she's presented by TV One to her advantage? Is the new look One News to your taste? Yes or no? 0800 309 309. David, hello.
Hi, Ian. Enjoying your show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just calling with respect to the lamp purchase.
Mm-hmm.
A comment you made earlier about them being suitable for use in the desert. A few months ago, there was a very interesting program on a Sunday evening with, I think, was it Ron Marks?
Yep.
Had an in-depth discussion on them. Now, interestingly, the Canadian Air Force deployed the labs in a desert situation, and they didn't use them extensively because what they found was that they were so heavy that they were actually sinking in the soft sand conditions. These labs are recommended for use on non-undulating terrain only. So I think New Zealand you could class as being semi-wetland, and that, you know, we have mud and a lot of off-road.
Yeah.
And the only sensible argument that was put up by the government in the program was simply that in the scenario that a tracked vehicle had one of the tracks shot off, the six-wheeled vehicle had an advantage in that it would, in all likelihood, only take out one of the wheels.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing, which I haven't heard this evening, is that the weight of the lab devices actually exceeds the maximum recommended payload of our Hercules craft.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, and also they have to be stripped down in order to get them on the plane.
And even if you get them on the plane in a fully stripped down state, they can't be flying more than 500 miles, which means that there are no labs that are going to go to any Pacific Island or to Australia.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that because I picked up on that as well, but I wasn't sure. To me, it just seems ridiculous.
If these things had cost us $100 million, you know, $1 million a pop or whatever it was, I wouldn't care so much. But this is $1 billion, and
yeah.
Upgrading the existing tracked vehicles, the M113s, would have only cost us about, I think, about $100 million,
yeah,
all up. You know, the amount of taxpayer money that has been wasted here because Mark Burton is an idiot, in my opinion, is just stunning. And
yeah,
no one's been called to account.
I totally agree with you there, and I'm just wondering what can we do about it. I mean, what you're doing through Radio Pacific, you know, bringing this to the attention is just so responsible. You know, we have to, I think, take it a step further and say, what can we do, you know, to stop this? At least review it.
Yeah, well, you know, there's no way this government's going to back out of this contract. They're committed to it just for the sake of their own pride.
Yeah.
They're going to take delivery of the full 105 labs and they're never going to use them.
I'm wondering, you know, what will we use them for? I mean, are there going to be 52 in each island? And, you know,
they can't even use them on the war games. Our territory is unsuitable. I mean, it is just some... There should be a guy in the army who should be court-martialed right now for being a total tosspot and wasting taxpayer money, and alongside him should be standing Mark Burton, and alongside him should be standing Helen Clark, who happily signed on the dotted line and refused to listen to all the advice saying this is a stupid idea. This would have to be the most expensive white elephant, or as somebody else said, green elephant, that I have seen any government purchase since Rob Muldoon's Think Big days. It is 20 minutes away from 7. Radio Pacific, back in just a moment.
Race 9 at Addington now confirmed 1, 5, and 2, the numbers, and the winner was number 1, Moana Nui, and it paid $4.20 and $1.45, 5 Too Long a Loaf a second, $2.45, and 2 Homewood Flipper, $1.
And stuck in traffic? Get on the car phone, talk to Ian Whishart, in for Mark Bennett on Radio Pacific. And let out some steam.
Just because you can. 0930938999, the only spare line. Ron, hello.
Hello, how are you, Ian?
Good.
Just thought I'd ring in. I just tuned into Radio Pacific and I heard you discussing the LAV3s and I just thought I'd just give a call in.
Ron Mark, NZ First.
That's me, yeah. The question that was asked with that last caller who said, well, what can we do to stop these things? I'm sorry to tell that gentleman that your answer is quite correct. This government has no intention of cancelling this purchase, which is a bit bizarre given the speed with which they cancelled the F-16 deal. And it just saddens me that there's a heck of a lot of good people out there who voted Labor because they wanted better health services, because they wanted better education for their kids. And whilst they got what they got when they voted for Labor to be the government is a government that's blowing $1 billion of their money on a motorization plan that is not necessary, won't work, was never needed. And at the same time, they're seeing 300 odd of their schools being closed down. I hope they feel their vote was well placed, because I don't.
Sadly, Ron, in talking to Labor voters, they are so focused on how wonderful Labor is that they are prepared to ignore every single stupid thing that they do.
Well, it's a bit sad, but it's reflective of the thing. You know, they're besotted by Helen Clark and the ever-changing hairstyles and the ever-changing photographs. But, you know, the facts are that New Zealand is a little country that can ill afford extravagances such as this, and yes, the Māori officers should be held to account for this purchase. Sadly but gladly, both the two Māori officers who are most heavily involved in this are out of the Army now. But the tragedy is that there's a lot of good Defence Force personnel who have been left to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, and they have to bite their tongue, be loyal to the government. You wouldn't dare utter one word against the government and through gritted teeth tell everybody it's just what they wanted.
What are you hearing? What are you hearing as ex-Army and also NZ First Defence spokesman? What are you hearing around the traps within the defence circles about these Lab 3s now?
Well, people can't talk because they're caught between a rock and a hard place. To talk about it puts them in the realm of politics, which is where Army officers were inappropriately dabbling before. But to utter anything other than positive statements about the vehicles is to bring discredit upon themselves and to put their own positions in jeopardy. They're boxing on and they're trying to make the best out of what they've got. They're short of tradesmen. They don't have the specialist tools they need to do the types of repairs that are coming up on these vehicles right now. They don't have the spare parts. And I am told that they're relying on the old M113s to pull these damn things out of the bog when they get stuck.
Now, this story broke in the Herald this morning, but you've known about this for some weeks. You're hearing from military sources about these sorts of problems. Why has it taken so long for the truth to emerge?
Well, I was suspected that the whispers that I was getting told me that the situation was not good, was not acceptable, given what we'd been told was so great about these vehicles, and given what we'd been told about how the reason they were so expensive is because it was an all-up deal with specialist tools, training, and spare parts all packaged into one. But then I was hearing that we had vehicles that were down for months at a time, and that has since proven to be the case. I put in written questions prior to Christmas, and I've only just received the answers back this week. And, of course, at the same time, a very good journalist who was perusing the written questions on the net in Parliament saw the answers and wanted to write the story. So there's the story for everybody to see. What now needs to be... I mean, there are a whole lot of other questions that I know Army officers are struggling to deal with, that they were always going to have to deal with, because these factors were never costed into the buy either, and they are such things as, how do they transport these things? Right now they're getting away with moving them from port to base by using civil contractors. I can just imagine seeing these New Zealand contractors hooking up their trucks and taking them to Iraq or to some far-flung country to transport these vehicles to the fight. The New Zealand Army, because we don't have transporters big enough to carry them.
They're going to commandeer the Arahura.
Well, I mean, once they hit dry land, you can't necessarily be transporting these things on the, they can't drive themselves necessarily every time. And any vehicle that breaks down and is incapable of moving, as we've already had, of the six we've got, I mean, virtually every one of them has been in the workshop for problems. Two of them have been off the road for 3 months at a time. When one breaks down and is immobilized, how does the Army move it? They don't have the transporters themselves to move it. So there's another part of the mobilization buy that's never been factored in, and it damn well should have been. Refuelers, these things suck gas. where are the refuelers that are going to follow along at the same rate of knots as the labs themselves to refuel them at the various stops so that they can continue on their charge to Baghdad should it ever have to be done again.
Yeah, they get about 8 gallons to the mile, don't they?
Well, and then what about recovery? When you buy a family of APCs such as these, you buy the family, including their variants, so that when they break down, you can recover them, pull them out of bogs, sit them back up on. For God's sakes, these things don't even carry a spare wheel. I mean, who's going, which vehicle? Right now, they're having to rely on the old 113s to do this sort of work. Right now, they can get away with it by bringing in what we call soft-skinned vehicles to do it because we're in a peacetime administrative training environment.
Defence Minister Mark Burton seems to be very testy about this.
Well, Burton knows as much about complex military combat vehicles such as this as any tire kicker salesman, backyard salesman in the country. He knows nothing. Burton puppets or parrots what he's told to say, and regretfully, I mean, imagine being in the position of the Secretary of the Defence Force. He was the person who went to the government and said, don't buy 105, buy 50. He did so along with the then Chief of Defence Force, Kerry Adamson. Both these people were overridden by Burton because he had a private chat with Maurice Dodson. And now, what the heck was that all about? Your two most senior people in the arm and the Defence Force tell you not to buy 105, start with 50 if you're going to do it, and then see where to go from there, and you override them, and yourself decide as the Minister of Defence that you're going to listen to one of their juniors, their subordinates, and double the order? And, you know, cynical New Zealanders might suggest that there are probably other reasons for such a decision, but we're not going to go there because we don't have any evidence of such.
Yeah, well, $1 billion buys a lot of operations and keeps a lot of kids in school textbooks and doctor's visits, and I just hope people see this for what it is. It is an absolute total and utter waste of taxpayer money that puts Tuku Morgan's $89 underpants absolutely is a shame. This is $1 billion. Ron, Mark, thank you for your time. 10 minutes away from 7, Radio Pacific, and we are talking to Stephen. Hello.
Yeah, hi there, how are you?
Good.
Good. Ron Marks has got the wrong end of the stick there, I believe. These LABs will be very useful when we install a nuclear generator in Taranaki. And there's some blind notion that...
Why will they be useful for that?
Oh, they just will be, I guarantee it. And, you know, the army is learning and using these vehicles appropriately. But Sri Lanka has the UN contract for LAVs in any region that New Zealand would be likely to go to. And any notion of these LAVs being used in Egypt is erroneous.
Well, they can't be used in the...
That's basically it.
They can't be used in the South Pacific, I can tell you that now. Will fall off the roads as they did with the Australian vehicles. Thanks for calling.
Benro Racing.
Ready? And racing now, Homebush DJ jumped pretty well on the inside and showing speed, Broken Back Jack, and in between them, Chirac.
Jimmy, you there?
Yeah, Ian.
Yeah.
Congratulations on a great article in your latest Investigate magazine on that lost treaty that's, or lost draft of the treaty that's turned up. Have you had any feedback on that at all?
Quite a bit.
Yeah, you think the Useless Herald would pick something like that up and run with it? And
well, the problem is that the papers are still being told by the academics, the intelligentsia, that you should ignore this. It's not a major issue, but it's going to come back and bite them. I can promise you that.
Well, put it this way: that even when ACT actually showed up that Mary department for their BS figures on what really goes out in welfare to Mary, so the Herald got stuck into ACT and called it all racist. You think the Herald would be able to? They couldn't spell the word investigate. They obviously print BS themselves and can't be bothered checking anything out. When someone does check it out, they stand up and get all very holier than thou about it.
Well, we'll see what happens. The Littlewood Treaty's now out there, although people have only got a couple more days to buy that issue of Investigate. Goes off sale on Sunday, if you want to get hold of it. Ice House, Great Southern Land. This is Radio Pacific. I'm Ian Wishart. Good night. God bless.